Wings thanks Rebel Podcast Network for carrying our programs and urges listeners to contribute to their fundraiser. Please visit rabble.ca/donate today.
This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Today on Wings, the poverty and the generosity of Greeks.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings. There's
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
You'll hear two stories in today's Wings program. The second is about Greeks helping refugees who flood their shores. But the first is about Greeks' own impoverishment. Briefly, some background. The European Union requires all member states keep their national debt below 60% of their gross domestic product. In 2009, 11 out of 27 member states failed to meet that criterion. But Greece and Italy both had national debts nearly twice the allowed limit. Despite weak attempts to stem tax evasion and corruption, Greek governments borrowed heavily to make loan payments and accepted loan requirements to impose austerity. But ironically, the math of more borrowing and less spending raised Greece's debt ratio to nearly 3 times GDP. After 9 rounds of cutting, in January 2015, Greeks voted in Syriza, an anti-austerity coalition. But by May, Syriza, too, bought into the borrowing and austerity remedy. Ioana Gaitani was voted into parliament with the first Syriza victory and was appalled when Syriza caved. She was interviewed for Wings by Mindy Ran.
Greece has been facing unprecedented levels of poverty and unemployment. When the Greek prime minister accepted a third EU bailout, he ensured further tax hikes and social welfare cuts to an already heavily burdened population. Former Member of Parliament Ioana Gaitani.
What is most upsetting to me is that those with chronic illness, like those on dialysis or suffering with diabetes or cancer, can no longer afford their medication or treatment because the national health system is crumbling. If they have no money or no one to pay the bills, they will just die. There is no one to help them.
In terms of the press, according to Reporters Without Borders, Greece has slipped in their yearly press freedom index 56 places to the second lowest level in the EU. It was concern over this lack of independent information that led former Member of Parliament for Syriza, Ioana Gaitani, to brief a global group of female journalists.
Για να περάσουν τέτοια βάρβαρα μέτρα, τα μίντια έπρεπε να ελεγχθούν και σήμερα ελέγχονται πλήρως από
When the members of government are suppressed and controlled, it's obvious that the media is completely under control of the government parties in power. Journalists have been arrested, and on a morning talk show when two journalists remarked on police violence, the ministry intervened and they were fired.
At the time of the briefing and interview, Syriza and Prime Minister Tsipras were anti-austerity and had come to power based on that platform. By January, Prime Minister Tsipras had U-turned on austerity and 149 MPs walked out to create another party called Popular Unity. Among those that left, another party split off called DEA, whose members now include Gaitani. However, after forcing an election, Tsipras was returned to power. Most reports claim that this third bailout will continue the misery. The UN Committee on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women states that the crisis is having a detrimental effect on women in all spheres of life, and that few studies have looked at the impact. Gaetani told us that women represent 65% of the long-term unemployed due to the closures of clothing, textile, leather, and tobacco factories, and that 90% of single-parent families are headed by women. Furthermore, according to research done by the Daily Telegraph in the UK, if you're out of work in Greece, you may never find employment again. The government's figures place unemployment for women at 31%, but the UN Committee on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women speaks of hidden unemployment. There are also other serious concerns.
The increase in violence, primarily domestic, for financial reasons, is a reality. The possibility of this violence leading to murder has doubled. Family violence has risen by 20%. When the victims are asked why they do not leave their partner, the answers are no money for a divorce, or food, or separate accommodation. And what will the children eat? Structures for battered women have closed down and only one helpline remains open.
The UN Committee on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women reported concerns at the persistence of violence against women, including domestic violence, which remains underreported due to discriminatory social and cultural norms. From a translation of Gaetani's briefing, we hear of further misery.
Brutality shows its true face when thousands of uninsured women arrive at the door of the hospital and cannot get in, not having the money for treatment or childbirth. The Athens Medical Association denounced the phenomena of women who are not able to give birth because they don't have 1,000 or 1,500 euros and face the obvious threat of their lives and their children's lives. If we also take into account the increased depression rate for women during this period, the situation becomes a nightmare.
Gaetani ended her briefing with a call for political change.
The women's movement cannot be confined by denouncing discrimination or talking about reforms. It must have a political orientation for global change. We have to fight for a society where there is no war, exploitation, poverty, environmental destruction. In all these cases, women are the first victims. We have to fight for a society that serves our needs without discrimination and oppression. Today, the dilemma which the great revolutionary Rosa Luxemburg raised is raised once again. Socialism or barbarism?
At the elections in 2015, Gaetani's DEA party received less than 3% of the vote, meaning she is no longer a member of parliament. My thanks to Ioanni Gaetani and to Athena Moss for assistance with the translations. This is Mindy Rann for the Women's International News Gathering Service.
On Wings, you're listening to reports about Greece. We now turn to the island of Kos, spelled K-O-S. It's become a major landing spot for international refugees. Sheila Dallas-Katzman reports.
I am an applied theater practitioner, and I arrived on the Greek island of Kos 2 days before the 5th Global Social Drama Conference to engage in social drama intervention with the people who were working with the influx of Syrian refugees. Keti Presveti was a participant in our workshops. She told me that people on the island woke up one morning to many strange people on their lawns.
We see these people come to our island and there is no place to stay and nobody cares of them, about their food, water, nothing. There are also children between them, and I have time to help them. And for me, it's human to go there and to be with them. And I saw other people, some friends, go to the Solidarity. In the beginning, it was a group about 20 persons, and now it's 75 persons. And we decided to give them food in the beginning, water and food. In the beginning, we tried to see the mayor, to see everyone here, to ask if it's possible to have food from them. And some hotels in the beginning gave us some meals, about 500 meals every day. In the beginning, it's not over than 500 persons, but day per day, there are more. And after 2-3 months, the food is not enough from the hotels, and we cook in our houses for them. But it's so tiring to give them not only food, other things, like shampoo, like shoes.
So you said it was about 500 refugees coming in at the time. Where were they coming from?
From Turkey. Mm. From Turkey, but most of them are from Syria because they have bombing all over. Now Russians and Americans are between them, and it's very that most of them are families. But there are not only Syrians, but are also from Afghanistan and Pakistan. And a lot of people from there are young boys, from 16 till 25, most of them.
How do they come here?
There are many boats between Kos and Bodrum. Bodrum is the city of Turkey, opposite of Kos. It's only 2.5 miles from Turkey. But because they have no legal papers, that's why they pay 1,200, 1,500 to come for 2 miles. And it's so dangerous because if you see the boat, it's for a baby to learn to swim. If you see the boat.
I saw it's a plastic stuff that we've seen in water by the port.
You understand why they go down. Some refugees came 24 hours swimming instead to pay.
Swimming?
Yeah, 24 hours. It's a lot of dangers to come by swimming.
Are there any sharks in your water?
No.
And we're talking about Syrian refugees.
No, I think it's Pakistan.
Now here in the island of Kos, there's refugees here coming from Pakistan and mostly Syrian refugees, but there's some Africans too.
Also.
And you know where they're from?
Nigeria, Ghana, Syria, a lot of countries from Africa. They don't, all of them have war, but they want to go somewhere better.
We understand that the refugees are here temporarily. We went down with you this evening to the port. And we saw all these tents. They look like children's tents.
Yes.
All along the side of the port there. Mm-hmm. Was this something that was given specifically by the government, the municipality of Kos?
No, nothing. Not. Only solidarity. And from every part of the world, we have support.
And how many tents you have there?
Now it's not so much. The worst it was during July and August, and in the beginning of September, we had 7,000 people here for one day. And it's not possible to go to Europe because they came here illegal and tried to have a paper in the police station. And there they waiting for a stamp to stay in Greece for 1 month and to be legal to go to Europe. Nobody wants to stay in Kos and in Greece because we have a lot of problem, economic problem in our country. And most of them, they want to go in Germany and England.
Now, a few days ago, we walked around the fort, the walls of the fort, and we saw women and we saw children and we saw a woman with a baby, couldn't be more than about 2 weeks old.
Mm-hmm. Born in Kos, in the hospital in Kos.
Ah. So are they sleeping in the tents on the streets still?
No. A woman from England paid for them to stay in a hotel. And there are a lot of volunteers from other countries who give money, and they sent a lot of things from other countries to cause in the other islands who have the same problem with us, Mytilene, most of them, and second cause. And they sent a lot of things for them. And we have to separate all of this and give them shampoo and shoes, because they have no shoes. A lot of them, they want bags, they want blankets. Every day we have different story to...
Okay. This is kind of difficult for you too, as a humanitarian doing the work you're doing. Are there any casualties, like deaths among the refugees when they come in?
Yes, this is the worst. Today they found a child 1 year old in the beach that they found in the morning. And it's so sad. And that's why I'm not in this group. I am in the group that we make a sandwich every day. I open the storage at 11 o'clock and we'll be there from the Solidarity, and also some volunteers from other countries who came here to help us. And we're preparing about 700, 500, depends on the day, sandwiches. And we made some plastic bags to put some things for them, biscuits.
And that is what we were proud to be there with you this evening, to help you with those sandwiches. We saw people coming with cars, with clothes, handing out. And it seemed like brand new clothes and all that. Nobody's giving hand-me-downs, would you say?
Yes.
Two young ladies said there were sisters there.
Yeah.
And one of the young women said that she's married and she has three children. And her husband left her, but it seemed as if she meant her husband is gone before her.
Yeah, with the children. Yeah.
And she needs to get to Germany.
Yeah.
And she also said something about they don't want to be sad. They want to be happy. So they don't have a sad face.
It's a different kind of refugees. And Syrian people is quite different from them, because Syrian people are afraid. But I will tell you a story from this day. When I came to see you in Kypriotis in the hotel, I saw a lot of them to walk, and I turned around because I have time. I took for first time a woman with a small boy 1 year. Not Muslim, not with the
covering of people.
Yeah, no, she has, and he has a boy, and she asks, please come to go with us to the police. And she say a lot of words to her husband, who has a daughter in his arms, and he said okay. He put also her daughter inside in the car, and we go to the police. And I saw her face. Her face is like iron.
Without
feelings, without anything. And I thought this road is so, so long. For the first time in Kos, I thought it's so many kilometers. And she felt the same and asked us, where is police, police? And I say, oh, in a few minutes we will be there. Okay.
How does the police treat the situation?
The police, they are not many for this island, not for this situation, for this island. That's why it's effort too strong for them to have this. And that's why we try to have a lot of more policemen in Kos. And we call in the government in Athens again and again to send more to stamp the papers to go from the island. And the government, it's strange for the government because it's a new thing. We have no rules, we have no laws for the refugees. We have for everything, for the cataclysm and everything, not for the refugees laws. That's why they didn't know. It's a new government. After 40 years, we had a new government, and it's very strange, everything.
Do you work closely with the police, or is it good relationship with the police?
It's difficult to say, difficult to say.
Where do they go from cars? Where, and how many refugees you send off each day?
In the beginning, it's not so much because the boats from here are with tourists, with the people who came to coast to spend a vacation. That's why it's not possible to go to live from coast. But after that, the government sent a boat, big boat, and took every day some of them. That's why we have not so many.
So they leave from here to Athens?
To Athens,
and what happened in Athens?
In Athens, they want to leave also, to go immediately to leave from Athens. In Athens, there are a lot of people who are living in Greece, Syrian, Pakistans, Afghans, who help them. We don't know how, the way, but help them to go to the other countries.
Where do they get money from? Because it seems paying 1,000 or 1,200 or 1,500 euros to come across from Turkey.
Yeah.
Is this Syrians that are leaving, they're leaving with their own money from their country?
Yeah, they sell everything to go out. Hmm. Some of them have the money with their body. And I'm not sure, but I listened that some people put some of them in the sea, threw in the sea to take the money from them.
To rob them?
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Some of them also, when they come here, they go to the banks and take money from the bank also. It's possible to take money.
Oh, they have their bank cards.
Yeah, uh-huh. It's possible to do that. And Syrian people, we know for sure that the people who can live from their country are the people that they have money. There are no poor. Some of them are doctors, professors in the university.
Port there.
Yeah.
So if you have a wish now, what would be your wish?
My wish is to stop the war.
In Syria?
Yeah. Now, every day, I think we are nothing, because now all the people, it's possible to see in the news everywhere, to see how sad is that. We are not humans, we are like, I think it's animals is better than us.
You know, there was a picture going around the internet of a boy being washed up.
Yeah, Aylan, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Did you know that boy?
We know the story because everyone knows that. And after this picture, after his death, everyone is changed because until this time we feel alone in Kos, loneliness. And most of the people, because Kos is a very touristic island, they want the same every year to have money. And this turned all of the lives in a different way.
Upside down, right?
Yeah, of course.
How are you in dealing with this?
I'm happy to help. Also, I'm happy because I met a lot of people from other countries, some people from Kos. There is a man whose life is almost 55 years old, and he told me that this summer changed his life and changed all his mind.
Yeah.
For me, it's not so strong to change my mind, but I feel so full with all this.
I heard you said the other day that for the people of Kos, it's like the heart. One side of the heart is saying, because this is new.
Yeah.
All these people are coming.
Mm-hmm.
Go away.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side of the heart,
mm-hmm.
they're saying...
Yeah, to help them. You see, by yourself.
Yeah.
You see that.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people who care about them to take in their home and have a bath, to give food in their home and to have pictures. If you see in the Facebook, you may see some people who are in our houses.
On the Solidarity Facebook site?
No, not officially,
mm-hmm.
but private.
Yeah.
I know that. We put in our wash machine their clothes.
And you get support from your family in what you're doing?
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah. Without support.
All right. How can the rest of the world help you, help Solidarity,
mm-hmm.
help what's going on here?
Mm-hmm. It's possible to see in our Facebook, Solidarity Cause, to see what we do.
You yeah. said you wanted shoes and stuff.
Yeah, and now we have a lot of things. We have also volunteers from other countries. But always, always we need shoes. And the bags, they want bags.
What kind of bags?
Bags who are for the shoulder.
Okay.
They need like this. And the blankets for when they go out from the sea. It is necessary to give them water and some vitamins. And we have energy. They sent it from Germany, energy biscuits to give them.
So Germany is still taking.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, a lot of German.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sila.
Katie, for talking with me, for taking the time. It's late, it's maybe about mm-hmm. 11 o'clock at night, and mm-hmm. your husband is wondering where you are.
Yeah.
By the way, do the children get to go to school while they're here? Are there any children, any school-aged children
among the
recipe? So they go to school while they wait?
No, it's not possible that for refugees,
not
for
possible.
The children, no, possibly. Only we make one day a theater, we try to have a theater for them because they stay for 1-2 days. Some of them stay more, mm-hmm. but most of them stay not so many days.
That was Sheila Dallas Katzman interviewing Keti Presbeti, one of the founders of Solidarity Cause. On February 17, 2016, the BBC reported that the European Union has required Greece to build and staff refugee registration centers on the island of Kos and 4 other islands near Turkey. Migrants will be required to register and be fingerprinted before moving anywhere else. The story said more than 850,000 migrants, mostly from Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan, had entered Europe through Greece in 2015. To hear this and other Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org or visit our page at facebook.com/wingsradio. In May of 2016, Wings will have been in distribution for 30 years. We're extremely grateful to all the community radio stations around the world that have carried our programs and to audiences for listening. Thanks also to the Rabble Podcast Network, to the community radio distribution systems of Australia, Canada, and the United States, to Suzette Cullen, who has been a rock and fellow traveler since 1996, and to Genevieve Vaughan, who's been supportive of women's radio since 1985. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle Is Cast. I'm Frieda Worden, Wings co-founder and series producer. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.